So 2 weeks ago, we had a lesson. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. I said this would be a two-part sermon. So we're going to do a little bit of a review and then get into part two. So why do we need to talk about Jesus being our King? As I mentioned before, I think lots of times we talk about Jesus, King of the Jews, but we don't say Jesus is my King. And when we say that Jesus is my King, there are a lot of implications that go along with that. There are so many songs that we sing about Jesus being our King. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. A lot of times we want the glory in life instead of giving it to God. And we need to go back to that cross and remember what Jesus did for us, how he died for us, and how he rose triumphant, and that he is our King. So we're going to look at Jesus being our King from the book of Matthew. And as we talked about, Matthew emphasizes Jesus as the King, and it was written to the Jews. When we talk about a kingdom, we're talking about sovereignty, royal power, dominion, and that is the sphere of God's rule. And again, God rules over everything. When we talk about a kingdom, we think of a king, a kingdom, territory, subjects, and law. These all go together. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So we see that his kingdom is something that is different, where it's not just giving lip service to it, but it is living what he tells us to do. Matthew emphasizes the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies because he was writing to the Jews. Phrases that he uses is, "It is written," which referred to the old law, and that it might be fulfilled. So Matthew emphasizes these Old Testament prophecies, the kingdom of God, the church, and he arranges his book in a very orderly way. Matthew talks about miracles, wonders, and signs that our King does. Again, a miracle, some supernatural work. Wonder is what it created in the people. And the signs means it signified that he was from God. Jesus' first sermon that we have recorded is what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, talking about the character and the nature of that kingdom citizen. And in chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." We looked at the authority and power of Christ, the King of the Jews, and the book concludes with the King's marching orders, what we refer to as the Great Commission. So in Matthew, we see the King's presentation, the King's constitution, his law, the power of the King's instructions, the King's subjects, the King's judgment, and he concludes with the victory found in Jesus. I'm going to go through these again as part of reviewing, but this is what I just mentioned, the power of Jesus, the miracles that he worked, the instructions that he gave. How do those he gave instructions, how those who belong to Jesus think and behave with a childlike heart, innocent, pure, forgiving, people willing to forsake all to follow him. If these characteristics are in us, we can be a kingdom citizen and Jesus can be our King if we're born into that kingdom. But we can't be in that kingdom and not have these characteristics. We should be characterized by humility and grace if Jesus is our King. We should look for heaven authority, not authority from men, if Jesus is our King. We should love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We see the king's judgment in chapters 24 and 25, judgment on Jerusalem and the temple, parables concerning the second coming, the Lord's Supper, prayers, trials, crucifixion, death, resurrection. So again, we're looking, talking about Jesus, our king, his kingdom, the territory, the subjects, and law. And we ended with asking the question, are you willing to submit to the king and obey his laws? So now, looking at part two, I want us to go through and look a little bit deeper at some of the things that Matthew records about our king. Some truths. We see in chapter one that Christ, Jesus, Emmanuel, is God with us. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. Jesus, Joshua, Savior. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Emmanuel, God with us. When we consider Jesus our king, we consider that God came down in the flesh. In chapter 2, verse 2, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They recognize that he was king from the prophecies, and they came quite a distance to worship him. How far are people willing to come to worship their king today? How much effort are they willing to put forth to come and worship their king today? Do they plan to worship their king today? Or do they do it just if I've got nothing else to do? You know, if it's raining outside and this isn't going on and this isn't happening, I might be able to come today. Friends, do we dare call Jesus our king if that is our attitude? You know, some people, and I really appreciate the members that we have here. Everybody that's here this morning will do everything that they can to be to services, to worship the king, to exhort and encourage each other. Some places you see people will look for any excuse that they can to not come together. Friends, we've got to understand that Jesus was king of the Jews, but he is king of my life, and we have to give him the honor and glory that he deserves. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So the people were looking for a king. Are you looking for a king? You might say, well, why do I need a king? Friends, we need a king to deliver us, to deliver us out of sin, to save us. We need a king that will protect us. Just as you look back through history and in the Bible and the kings and other nations, how kings would protect their kingdom. They had measures in place to protect the citizens, to protect their kingdom. We need a king to protect us today. If our king doesn't protect us, friends, we have no hope at all. And we need a king to bless us. So, if we call Jesus our king and we are expecting him to deliver us, to save us, to protect us, to bless us, what do you think he is going to expect from us? He's going to expect that we honor him, we obey him, we love him with all our heart, soul, mind. We do everything that we can to bring honor and glory to His name. We do everything that we can to enlarge His kingdom. Well, in chapter 3, we see John the Baptizer coming, preaching to repent. Jesus is baptized by John. Chapter 3:17, heaven speaks, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Chapter 4, we have the devil tempting Jesus. And the way he answered those temptations was with, "It is written." And again, we see the power of the word. In chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Who do people worship today? People will worship just about anybody or anything, but we learn from the Bible, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. God is the only one that we are to worship, and when we worship him, it's like with prayer. When we get down on our knees and pray to God to give us something, then we have to get up off our knees and work to get it. When we worship God, it doesn't stop with what's here in this building. Then we go and we serve him. We serve him every day. Chapter 5, we have the Sermon on the Mount, talking about that blessed citizen. We are blessed because our sins are forgiven, because God looks on us with favor. And that's why we could be, should be, there are things that come along to knock us off balance every so often, but we should be the happiest people in the world because our happiness is not tied to the car we drive, the house we live in, the job we have, the degree we have. Our happiness does not come from any of that. Our happiness comes from the relationship that we have with God, the relationship that we have with Jesus, our Savior, God with us, and that should make us the happiest people in the world. And again, as I was talking about what happened to us this last week, and I had to remind myself, we live in a land where thieves break in and steal. That's not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of the prince of the air, the ruler of this world. We learn in chapter 6 where your treasure is. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Friends, where's your treasure? Do you go to bed thinking about how much money you have in your bank account, or how much money you have in the stock market, or how much gold you have, or this or that, your real estate holdings? Is that where your treasure is? Or do you go to bed at night thinking about your relationship with Jesus Christ and how he loved us and how he died for us? Chapter 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Is Jesus your king? Is he your king? You know, I don't want to say it's funny, it's sad when people work and scramble, they ruin their health trying to accumulate this and that, trying to accumulate things on their own. And if they have God, if we have God as our Father, we have a relationship with the one that owns everything, controls everything, and can give us what we need just when we need it. I remember a story from when I was a small child, and someone was walking along, and he had this big grin on his face and a a skip in his step, and somebody stopped him and he said, "Mister, tell me, what's up with you? You look like you own the whole world." And he said, "I don't own it, but my Father does." And we need to remind ourselves of that. Chapter 7, the king, we see the king does not offer a third option. There's only two ways, two builders, two fruits, two trees, two gates. Verses 11 through 12, "I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Friends, there's going to be heaven. There's going to be hell. There's going to be a place prepared to reward those that have done righteously, a place prepared for those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. There's no third option. There's no third option. There's not a gospel of do-overs. When we die, we don't get to say, "Wait a minute, let me do it over." We can't read about that. Chapter 9, we see that Jesus had compassion. He cared, and we should care. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." We live in a very callous world, and it's easy for that callousness to rub off on us as Christians. But we need to be tender-hearted. We need to be compassionate. We need to be loving toward everyone. Chapter 10, the king tells us, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In chapter 11, John is in prison, sends some of his followers to ask Jesus, "Are you the one that is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus says, "Go tell John that which you see and hear." So, there's a lot of, again, fear going on about wars and things and people killing people. But we don't need to worry about that as much as the one that can destroy not just our body, but our soul and body in hell. And Jesus, when John's disciples were questioning, "Is Jesus the one?" Jesus says, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." All of these signs, wonders, miracles that we're performing gives us faith in Christ that he is the one. And we know that it is impossible for him to lie. And we should not fear those that can kill us. And you know, I don't worry about somebody killing me. Somebody might accidentally. There might be a war or something like that. I don't worry about that. Something that I don't quite understand, though, is when I go to the doctor and they want me to take another pill for this and another pill for that and try to scare me in, "Well, if you don't take this, you're going to die." And I haven't said it, but one of these days, I'm just going to look one of my doctors in the face and say, "You know what? I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to drop this body, this corruptible body that's fading away. I'm going to have a new body. And you can just keep what you're offering me today, but I'm going to live forever." You see, when Jesus is our king, we have a completely different outlook than people of the world. Some of those people are worried about wars or being killed, and you're going to die if you don't take this and you don't do that. Friends, on one hand, we're all going to die. But if we're Christians, we're going to live forever. We need to put our faith in our King. Chapter 12. "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we see, and we need to learn and understand, when Jesus is our King, even if he isn't, we are still going to give an account for everything that we say. We need to stop and think about that sometimes and choose our words wisely. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So that can apply to a variety of things: truth, lies, things that build somebody up, things that tear somebody down, things that could be true, but it's just gossip that people are spreading around. You consider the sins of the tongue: lying, backbiting, gossip, grumbling, murmuring, complaining. As a child of the King, we should watch that we do not complain about things. I was joking with David earlier and said, "No, I don't want to be a complainer, but," and I told him something. But you see, some people, they complain about everything. They complain about everything. Chapter 13, that's the parable chapter, and we spent quite a few evenings, Sunday evenings, looking at those parables, talking about the kingdom. Chapter 14, John the Baptist is dead. Jesus feeds 5,000. He walks on the water. He shows the power of the King. Friends, Matthew is a classic book for us to learn about our King and everything that our King did while he was on this earth, how he interacted with people, how he had compassion on people, the miracles. All of this is to give us faith that we will see that Jesus is our King. Chapter 15, 8 and 9. These people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So again, our King will not accept lip service. Our heart has to be in things. We want to have our heart as close to God's heart as possible. We want to open our heart and let him come in. That's where he wants to reign and rule. He's not looking for some big golden throne built here on this earth that says God rules here. He wants to reign on our heart. And when he reigns on our heart, our lives will change. And when our lives change, then we can change other people's lives. Chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can we say that and believe that? Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And again, this wasn't some miraculous revelation, but Peter knew the prophecies of the Old Testament. Peter was with him and saw all of these prophecies being fulfilled in front of him. He knew that he was the Son of God. Verse 18, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this confession, I will build my church." Singular. My church. My, that's possessive. It belongs to Christ. We don't want to be in some church that belongs to some man. We want to be in the church that belongs to Christ. "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." You see, when Christ died on the cross, his spirit went to that Hadean realm as other spirits do. But Hades could not hold him. He rose from the dead. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that Jesus was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. That four I stuck in there to remind me to mention. From this time, there are about four instances that Jesus said that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, be killed and raised the third day. And that happened within a short period of time. But he told them four times. They still didn't get it. Chapter 17, the Mount of Transfiguration. The voice says, hear him. Listen to what Christ says. Chapter 18, humility, forgiveness. Friends, is Jesus your king? Is he my king? Chapter 19, he talks about the institution of marriage. Jesus goes back to the beginning. You see, if we recognize that Jesus is our king, all of these things that we are involved in our life are going to be according to his law. Chapter 19, we see that God must come first with this rich young ruler. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? No one is good, but that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He asked him which ones. He goes through the list in verse 20. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, Christ does not tell us to give up everything, but Christ tells us we must be willing to give up anything. If our king says, this is in your life, you got to get rid of it. We say, done. This is in your life, you got to get rid of it. Done. But this man, this young man, went away sorrowful. A lot of people want Jesus as their king to a certain point. I want Jesus as my king to protect me. I want Jesus as my king to give me stuff. But I don't want Jesus as my king where I have to bow down and give him honor and glory and worship him. We see humble service. Matthew 20, verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. If we want to be great in the kingdom, we don't look for some position to hold. We just need to get busy serving. Authority, is it from heaven or men? Jesus showed that his authority was the only one that is acceptable. What's the greatest command? Love God and our neighbor. In chapter 25, Jesus has three parables, again, talking about being ready when he comes back. And a lot of people have a lot of ideas about what they need to do to go to heaven. Some say all you got to do is be baptized. You have to be baptized according to Bible baptism. Some will say, well, I was baptized as a child, or I was baptized in this church or that church. Or they think all you have to do is give money. They have all kinds of ideas. All you have to do is be here on Sunday morning and you'll go to heaven. People have all kinds of ideas. But in Matthew, when Jesus talks about entering into the kingdom, he lists six categories of service. This is going to be when he separates the sheep from the goats, when he separates the sheep from the goats, when he separates those going to heaven from those going to hell. He mentions these six things. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And they said, when did we see you do this? And he said, when you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. So we see our king is different. His kingdom is different. It's not like that of the world. We have chapter 26, the Lord's Supper, the garden, the trial. He's before Pilate. What shall I do with Jesus? Chapter 28, Jesus gives his disciples marching orders. He has died, he has risen. He gave his disciples marching orders. He gives us marching orders to go into all the world with the gospel. To go into all the world, share the good news. Let them see in our lives that Jesus is our King. And again, when we realize that Jesus is our King, we must realize that we must submit to Him. John 3 and verse 1, there is a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So we see here this man, I would say he's sincere. He wants to come and see Jesus. He recognizes that we know that you're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do these signs. Jesus answered and said to him, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it's interesting how Jesus, he just skips over to the point that's most important for Nicodemus. I say, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Again, Jesus repeats what he said. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's like Jesus knew Nicodemus wanted to be in this kingdom, but he had some kind of a block. So he doesn't tell him once. Here he tells him twice. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So he tells him three times. And that's how we get into the kingdom. But then once we get into the kingdom, we should not be like Nicodemus and have to be told over and over and over and over what the king wants us to do. Jesus is our king. The songs that we sing, O worship the King, all glorious above. All hail the power of Jesus' name. King of my life, I crown thee now. Friends, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The question this morning is he your king? If there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.